We are joined by the driver of the number 22 Toyota Camry, and today's winner, Christopher Bell. Christopher, congratulations on the win. Thanks for joining us. We can start it off over here with John.
John Newby, Savage Ventures. So I was talking to William after the race, and he said the end of the race was how it should be. You guys used a little bit of contact, but nobody was going to wreck each other because you have, you know, complete respect, and you were all, you know, top five in points. I was curious, from your perspective, like, how aware are you of which drivers are behind you in those closing laps?
Yeah, definitely really, really aware, and it was very refreshing and fun to see a clean race play out. And, you know, last year, obviously, I had the mishap with Kyle Busch, and I pride myself on racing respectful, and I feel like my image around the garage is respected in that aspect, and people know that I race clean. And William repaid that today. He ran extremely hard, but fair and clean, and we saw a heck of a race out of it.
All right, we'll stay over here with Rob.
Rob Tiongson from thepodiumfinish.net. Christopher, congratulations on your second win of the season, second in a row. You know, what message do you have to say this win sends to your competitors and to your team about the versatility of your driving and your team, and just knowing that you're just sharpening your knives so early in the year?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a message to send to any of them, but it's nice to be able to, you know, capitalize on race wins. And last year, there were so many race wins that got away whenever I had the fastest car. And, you know, the last 2 weeks at Atlanta and here, I kind of won without the fastest car. So it's really nice to get those back that I lost last year. And I'm excited about what's to come. We have high expectations and high hopes and goals for this year. And, you know, frankly, the last couple of years being at Joe Gibbs Racing in this number 20 car, I haven't been living up to the standards that I hold to myself. And our goal going into 2025 is to do that my goal is to do that for myself. And I know Adam Stevens, you know, he feels the same way. He feels that we're capable of, you know, a lot of great things, and we haven't done that yet in a NASCAR Cup Series season. So maybe 2025 will be the year.
All right, going on over here to Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, Kicking the Tires on that. You might want to watch Adam's press conference, because he's like, 1 week isn't indicative of the next, and he pretty much expects you to be in victory lane for the next 2 weeks. Says they're circled.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So, you know, Kyle out there was telling us he did everything he could to screw up so that you could dump him. And the tires were gone. There was nothing he could do to hang on. How did you pass him and get by cleanly and go on to what Chase Elliott said was a masterclass in clean racing?
Yeah, I mean, I can't reiterate enough how amazing it was to have such respectful, clean, and hard racing. I mean, that was just it was a beautiful ending to a race. And you know, Kyle Busch, whenever he got out front, I just was like, I'm trying my hardest to get position on him, to outbreak him, and he was attacking his brake zones so hard that I could not get there. And there was once I had to abort, and I'm sure everyone saw it getting into one. I'm like, all right, I got him. And I drove in there and locked the rears up, and I'm like sliding, and I had to go right to try and miss him. Thankfully, I did miss him. And I mean, whenever I got out front, I had been struggling on the long run. And I think probably we all were, but I've been following it back compared to my competitors all race. So I thought maybe once I got in the lead, I could be good, but I was just slipping and sliding around like we all were. And, you know, I was just concentrating on not beating myself. And it wasn't the cleanest laps that I ran at the end, but they were enough to hold on.
Right in the middle here with Dustin.
Dustin Alvino, J-Ski. Christopher, you mentioned the mishap from last year. How did that change your approach in the way you raced Kyle today?
I mean, I don't think it changed my approach at all. It certainly, I don't know. I mean, I didn't want to do that again, and I wasn't going to put myself in jeopardy to, you know, make contact and ruin his race. But I don't think it affected, you know, how I raced him or anything. I just was trying to put the pressure on him, and, you know, his tires eventually gave up, and he slipped getting into I think it's 15, and allowed me to get inside of him, and then the race was on from there. Ouch.
Yeah. Just curious, there was some confusion with turn six and early in the race.
There was a lot of confusion.
All right, elaborate for me, please.
Well, I was watching the Xfinity race yesterday, and I saw several guys cut turn six and not get penalties. And I'm like, man, that's really weird, really weird. And then early in the race, I saw several competitors in front of me cut turn six and break the rule. And thankfully, Adam got on the radio. I don't remember what it was, probably lap 20, 30. And he's like, hey, they're not going to police track limits in turn six. So that changed the way that all of us attacked turn six. And, you know, it changed the race for sure. For the better or the worse, I don't know. But it definitely changed the style of or the technique that you use to get through there.
And another one right in the middle here.
Bobby Chaffee, Texas Sports Unfiltered. Christopher, early in the year, you thanked Joe Gibbs for letting you do other racing, chili bowls, micro sprints, super late model, stuff like that. Number one, did that help you today with all the craziness on the track and loose and all that? And how does that, I mean, obviously you got 2 out of 3 after doing all that. Is that helping out your program a lot for this year?
You know, dirt racing might have helped me today because we were sliding around like crazy. I hope that transpired on TV, they were able to show it, because we were, all of us were just slipping and sliding and drifting the cars around the track. So yeah, I mean that is road course racing 101, and that's why it's so much fun. So thank you, Joe Gibbs.
All right, we've got Alex here in the middle.
Alex Cadavid, NASCAR.com. Christopher, how do these two back-to-back wins build your confidence for Phoenix or Las Vegas to net another one?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing to be sitting here with, more importantly than two wins, is 10 playoff bonus points. And, you know, we're in a pretty good spot right now, and hopefully, you know, we can go into racetracks that are really good for us. Obviously, Phoenix was a, you know, amazing show for the 20 car last year in the spring race. Yeah, I mean, they're great racetracks for us, and more importantly, they are extremely important racetracks. With Phoenix being the championship event, Vegas being in the round of eight, there are two racetracks where you have to be good at if you're going to compete for a championship. So, everyone knows that. Everyone's going to be, bringing their best stuff, trying to see where they stack up, and taking notes for, you know, how it goes and how to be better in the fall.
All right, we got Steven here in the second row.
Steven Sunfronters.com. Christopher, as you alluded to earlier, you ended last year with 694 laps led without a win. You now have two wins and 9 laps led the last two races.
That's
pretty cool. As a driver, is it sweeter to be there at the very end and kind of snag a win, or is it better to dominate, or are they all the same?
Yeah, so that is actually a great question. That is a great question, and something that I've paid a lot of attention to over the course of my career. And, you know, the first part of my career, really before last year, most of my wins came without leading laps and just showing up at the end and snagging the victory. And that's great, but there is something to be said for leading laps. And it wasn't until last year that we were really able to lead laps and control races, and we didn't win as many as we should have, but it was very refreshing to be able to do that. So, in order to lead laps, the whole piece has to come together. You have to qualify well. You have to unload well. You have to have a great pit crew. And we didn't have all of those keys early on in my career until last year, where we finally, put all the pieces together. So, I have paid a lot of attention to laps led and races won, they don't always correlate, and it's good to be able to win the races that you don't lead laps, and it sucks whenever you lead laps and don't win, but that's how it goes sometimes, and you have to look at the positives out of it.
All right, we've got Justin here.
Justin Schuler, Athlon Sports. I'll throw another stat at you. This is the longest drought that the Cup Series has had without back-to-back races with the same winner. Is that because of the parity of the car or the parity of the field or just how diverse the schedule has become? Because I look back at, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, and we had 2 road courses maybe, and then now we have all these road courses, the hybrid at Atlanta. You know, we used to have the dirt race, but still it just seems like the schedule's gotten so much more diverse. So What can you narrow it down to, or is it just a combination of all three?
I definitely think the schedule has something to do with it. You know, adding another super speedway in the fold with Atlanta. The road courses, you know, I guess there is more now than what there was in the past, but with the super speedway stuff and the next gen car just really leveling the playing field and not just, you know, there's a lot of competitive cars now where back in the day, I remember it was the big three, right? Everyone had the big three. It was Kyle, Martin, and Harvick there for a little bit, and different guys would come and go. But it seemed like those teams had a little bit extra, where now with the next-gen car, you can't really get that advantage. So winning has certainly become harder, and more guys are capable of it. So whether that's a good or a bad thing is debatable, but it's a sport that we live in and compete in right now.
All right. Any last questions? Nope. All right. Thank you, Christopher. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.